Please be seated. Between the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, may the Spirit of God be always present. Amen. Jesus versus the devil, light versus darkness, Darth Vader versus Yoda, Voldemort versus Harry Potter, the struggle between the forces of good and evil has been in our lives from the beginning of human existence. And today we see Jesus in the scriptures, in this familiar story in the desert, being challenged in all the very human ways that we find ourselves challenged daily. We're meant to think of Israel's struggle wandering with God in the wilderness. We're meant to think of the places that we've been, which felt like wilderness times to us. It is a time of discomfort and hardship, much like Lent, depending on what you've given up. While the devil is known for being a crafty beggar, like the serpent in the Garden of Eden, the conversation between himself and Jesus is not actually about him at all. I saw a really cool drawing of the devil coming to Jesus in an icon recently. And the devil is this small, diminutive figure, while Christ takes up the majority of the picture, because the story is not actually about the devil coming to Christ. It's about who Jesus is. And Jesus, the scriptures simply use the devil as a tool to tell the story. Ironically, it's the devil who tells us who Jesus is to begin with. He says, if you are the Son of God, and we can hear the taunt, right? But it is Jesus who tells us who God is. God is whatever is life-giving, essentially. It is not just the food that sustains us and keeps us going, but the Word of God. What gives life does not take shortcuts to wisdom by literally interpreting scriptures or grasping for power. Jesus knew that God had commanded his angels concerning him, but also that gravity would crush him were he to step off the pinnacle of the tower. It's not about whether God would literally have saved him or not. While Jesus responds that we are not to test God, he also knows that God would save him to prove who he is. God is looking out for each of us each day. Jesus' body was exactly the same as yours or mine, if not a little smellier. They didn't have showers. If you are the Son of God, would be like someone saying to you, if you are a beloved child of God. And none of us would jump off the bridge between here and the shingle mill to prove it. It is the reality that we simply know and trust because we follow Jesus in this Christian life. And we've learned to trust God over time. Now, all humans have desires that need to be met. The desire for food is one of the most basic, particularly if, like myself, you're a bit of a carboholic and love your sourdough starter. When we're hungry, we want to eat. When we're cold, we seek warmth and shelter. Who here has ever had a dream of winning the lottery? Thank you, that one honest person in the front row. If I won the lottery, I would have an instant fix for food and shelter. I would not have to depend on God to provide work for me and my family. I'd be totally independent. Better yet, people would admire me for my charitable works as I sprinkled the fruits of my winnings beyond various churches and charities. But let's just get back down to earth for a second. Human desire and ego are really something that we all have to a greater or lesser extent. Notice that Jesus manages to resist all of those things. Though hungry, he refuses to take the quick fix of bread. Though tested, he doesn't take the bait, but trusts the God that he knows. And though he could become the king of all kingdoms of the earth, he forgoes it, placing his trust in the kingdom of God and knowing that that is the only kingdom that really matters. What is the result of this show of restraint? Angels come and wait on him and provide for his needs. And I think this is the most important point in the story for me this morning. God sees our needs and provides for them, not in an instant gratification kind of way, or that one-click shopping on Amazon Prime that can get you something by the end of the day, but in God's own sweet time. Ask yourself, where do angels manifest in your life? Can you think of a time when you felt certain that God was acting right in front of your eyes? I'll share an example with you. When I was an innocent young 19-year-old, I spent a year in Colorado as part of my undergrad, and I worked in a big fancy hotel. And this was where I purchased my first car. $306 I paid for that bad boy, a Toyota Celica. It was brown, it had these super ugly shade fins on the back, and my friends called it the roach because it did indeed look like a giant insect. And one day I was driving back from the Breckenridge ski resort and it was raining and I could hear this weird grinding noise, odd on a $300 car, I know. And I was kind of in the middle of nowhere because, you know, Colorado is just this sprawling square in the middle of the map on the United States, and there's a lot of big sandy rock formations. So when it rains, it really is like Mud City. And there was a loud bang and then quite a bit of thudding on the driver's side of the front of a car, which was dragging awkwardly, and I thought, oh dear, that doesn't sound great. And I'd blown out a tire. I limped the roach onto a side road, and reaching into the glove compartment, I found the owner's manual, which looked like it had been dipped in tea, and looked up the instructions for a tire change. Now, I'd never changed a tire before in my life. I was 19 years old. I didn't grow up with a dad around the house to, you know, show me these things. And so I managed to find my way to the jack and the wrench underneath the spare tire. Now, bear in mind, it is raining like Noah and the Ark style raining. So by the time I got the tire out of the back of the car, I was literally soaked to the skin. I had water running over the tops of my shoes. And I just had to keep going. So I trudged through the river that was kind of running along near my feet and started to get going. And it was slow work, kneeling in the flowing water on the ground in the middle of a side road in the middle of Colorado. And all of a sudden, I realized that the rain had stopped, except it hadn't stopped. It had stopped just around me. It was coming down all around. And I looked up, and standing over me with a large umbrella that covered us both was an elderly man with a very gentle smile and no teeth. And he never said a word. He just stood there in Wellingtons that looked like they were about five sizes too big for his frame and sheltered me from the rain. Now, I had not even noticed that there was a house across the street because the rain was coming down so hard, but he must have seen me from inside and chosen to come out with the umbrella. So I was still soaked, but I was no longer alone. And being sheltered from waters on all sides, I felt as though I at least had some protection. Now, it took me over 40 minutes to change this tire, my first tire. And this nameless man who never spoke stood there the whole time. And when I was done, I thanked him, and he just nodded with sort of a knowing look, and I watched him totter away into the rain and back to the house. The God who loves us knows what we need before we ask for it. I didn't need somebody to change the tire for me. I just needed a little shelter to get the job done. God appears in all kinds of uncomfortable wilderness situations. And I wonder how many stories there are like this one in this room alone. Where in the life of this church has God seen what we needed and provided for us? How about that bequest when we were almost closing? Eh? It can be hard to see where God shows up in the busyness of this life. Part of the discipline of Lent is to discern between the voices of temptation, the voices of the world, and the voice that gives life, that is, the voice of God. Now listen again to the end of that passage from Matthew. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It is clear to us by now that the intention is that Jesus becomes the king of all the earth, but he doesn't take his rule the quick and easy lottery win way, the transactional way that would give him rule over all the earth for his own benefit. He takes God's way. Every time we resist the voices that speak into our lives, tempting us away from the path that Jesus leads us on, every time we're offered the easy fix, we win a small part of the battle that is for the kingdom of God to be established on earth and within ourselves. So with that, let us pray. Lord God, you saw through the voice of the tempter. Give us the same scripture-grounded courage to say no to the voices in our lives that do not give life. Help us to see God's way and provision for us as we walk through Lent with you again. Amen.